Evidently, the demon fowl knew all the turnings of that maze of delusion with which Ezdagor had environed his abode, for the hunter was led with comparatively little indirection across the enchanted buttress. He heard the far-off shouting of his men as he went, but his own voice was faint and thin as that of a flittermouse when he sought to reply. Soon he found himself at the bottom of a great scarp of the upper mountain, pitted with cavern mouths. It was a part of Vormithedreth that he had never visited before. Raftontis rose toward the lowest cave and hovered at its entrance while Ralabar Vuz climbed precariously behind him amid a heavy barrage of bones and glass-edged flints and other oddments of less memorable nature hurled by the Vormis. These low, brutal savages, fringing the dark mouths of the dens with their repulsive faces and members, greeted the hunter's progress with ferocious howlings and an inexhaustible supply of garbage. However, they did not molest Raftontis, and it seemed that they were anxious to avoid hitting him with their missiles. Though the presence of this hovering, wide-winged fowl interfered noticeably with their aim as Ralabar Vuz began to near the nethermost den. Owing to this partial protection, the hunter was able to reach the cavern without serious injury. The entrance was rather straight, and Raftontis flew upon the Vormis with open beak and flapping wings, compelling them to withdraw into the interior, while Ralabar Vuz made firm his position on the threshold ledge. Some, however, threw themselves on their faces to allow the passage of Raftontis, and, rising when the bird had gone by, they assailed the Camorian as he followed his guide into the fetid gloom. They stood only half erect, and their shaggy heads were about his thighs and hips, snarling and snapping like dogs, and they clawed him with hook-shaped nails that caught and held in the links of his armor. Weaponless, he fought them in obedience to his gesh, striking down their hideous faces with his mailed fist in a veritable madness that was not akin to the ardor of a huntsman. He felt their nails and teeth break on the close-woven links as he hurled them loose, but others took their places when he won onward a little into the murky cavern, and their females struck at his legs like darting serpents, and their young beslavered his ankles with mouths wherein the fangs were as yet ungrown. Before him, for his guidance, he heard the clanking of the wings of Raftontis, and the harsh cries, half hiss and half caw, that were emitted by this bird at intervals. The darkness stifled him with a thousand stretches, and his feet slipped in blood and filth at every step. But anon, he knew that the Vormis had ceased to assail him. The cave sloped downward, and he breathed an air that was edged with sharp, acrid mineral odors. Groping for a while through the sightless night, and descending a steep incline, he came to a sort of underground hall, in which neither day nor darkness prevailed. Here, the archings of rock were visible by an obscure glow such as hidden moons might yield. Thence, through declivitous grottos and along perilously skirted gulfs, he was conducted ever downward by Raftontis into a world beneath the mountain Vormithedreth. Everywhere was that dim, unnatural light whose source he could not ascertain. Wings that were too broad for those of the bat flew vaguely overhead, and at whiles, in the shadowy caverns, he beheld great, fearsome bulks having a likeness to those behemoths and giant reptiles which burdened the earth in earlier times. But because of the dimness, he could not tell if these were living shapes or forms that the stone had taken. Strong was the compulsion of his gesh on Ralabar Vuz, and a numbness had seized his mind, and he felt only a dulled fear and a dazed wonder. It seemed that his will and his thoughts were no longer his own, but were becoming those of some alien person. He was going down to some obscure but predestined end, by a route that was darksome, but foreknown. At last, the bird Raftontis paused and hovered significantly in a cave, distinguished from the others by a most evil potpourri of smells. Ralabar Vuz deemed at first that the cave was empty. Going forward to join Raftontis, he stumbled over certain attenuated remnants on the floor, which appeared to be the skin-clad skeletons of men and various animals. Then, following the cold, bright gaze of the demon bird, he discerned in the dark recess the formless bulking of a couchant mass. And the mass stirred a little at his approach, and put forth, with infinite slothfulness, a huge and toad-shaped head. And the head opened its eyes very slightly, as if half awakened from slumber, so that they were visible as two slits of oozing phosphor in the black, browless face. Ralabar Vuz perceived an odor of fresh blood amid the many fetors that rose to besiege his nostrils. A horror came upon him therewith, for, looking down, he beheld lying before the shadowy monster the lean husk of a thing that was neither man, nor beast, nor Vormi. He stood, hesitant, fearing to go any closer, yet powerless to retreat, but, admonished by an angry hissing from the Archaeopteryx, together with a slashing stroke of its beak between his shoulder blades, he went forward till he could see the fine, dark fur on the dormant body and sleepingly porrected head. With new horror and a sense of ominous doom, he heard his own voice speaking without volition. "O Lord Sathagwa, I am the blood offering sent by the sorcerer Ezdagor." There was a sluggish inclination of the toad-like head, and the eyes opened a little wider, and light flowed from them in viscous tricklings on the creased underlids. Then Ralabar Vuz seemed to hear a deep, rumbling sound, but he knew not whether it reverberated in the dusky air or in his own mind. And the sound shaped itself, albeit uncouthly, into syllables and words. "Thanks are due to Ezdagor for this offering, but since I have fed lately on a well-blooded sacrifice, my hunger is appeased for the present, and I require not the offering. However, it may be that others of the old ones are athirst or famished, and since you came here with a gash upon you, it is not fitting that you should go hence without another. So place you under this gash to betake yourself downward through the caverns till you reach, after long descent, that bottomless gulf over which the spider god Atlach Nacha weaves his eternal webs, and there, calling to Atlach Nacha, you must say, I am the gift sent